It's July 14, 2020. This last Sunday, we were in Philippians 2, 19 through 30 on the morning live stream at Henson Baptist Church. I enjoyed meditating on the text, and thanks for those who reached out and let me know how you were encouraged or helped by the sermon. My prayer for our church is that even during this time of pandemic, that we would be going deep in friendships in the Lord here at Henson. Providentially, Michael and I had a great friend in the Lord in town this weekend, Mark Dever. Mark Dever has been the pastor of Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. since 1994. He's the director of Nine Marks Ministries. Michael served alongside Mark as an associate pastor for about 9 years, and Jeff Chang and I served there at that church as pastoral interns and then pastoral assistants. Maybe more accurately, we were served there. I know many of you have been helped by books that Mark has written and by Nine Marks and just the broader ministry of Capitol Hill Baptist Church. So I hope you find this conversation with Mark, where we talk a little bit about friendship in the Lord, helpful. Hey fans, welcome back to the Disciple Henson podcast. This is your host, Daniel Schreiner, and I'm here with my friend, Mark Dever.
Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Daniel.
So you are here with me in Portland on the fourth floor. What brings you here to Portlandia?
Well, I had been down visiting my daughter in Eugene, Oregon, and knew that you and other friends were up here in Portland, so I thought before I fly back home, I should come up and say hello.
I'm glad you did.
See how things are going.
And thank you for joining me for this conversation. We just kind of talk about random things on this podcast related to discipleship in the Lord.
Excellent.
And so I kind of like to tie the topic to oftentimes what we're thinking about in our Sunday school or in our preaching series. So you were just with us for our live stream.
I just listened to you preach live. I was sitting right there.
That's right.
From Philippians 2, 19 to 30 on character and affection and sacrifice.
Three for three.
Yeah.
And overall, we were thinking a little bit about just godly friendship. And I know this is something that you have taught me about what it looks like to be friends in the Lord. What's the secret to having godly friendships? The secret sauce, if you will.
Yeah, I don't know. The secret. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Okay. I'll ask it this
way. It's going to be a hard podcast, isn't it, really?
It's okay. I think we're just getting going here.
Okay.
Thoughts on what scripture teaches us on what it means to be a friend in the Lord? Like, what are just some principles that you go to, guiding principles that help you think through what does it mean to be a friend in Jesus?
I think if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then if Jesus said you love your neighbor as yourself, if you fear the Lord and you don't fear others, you're really well set up to have good friendships.
Hmm.
Because you can have your friend that never changes and never leaves, the Lord, where your most basic emotional needs are met. So much more, but I mean just in terms of friendship. And you can at the same time desire his approval, unlike anyone else's. And then you can have your human friendships at the same time, where you can know joy and reciprocity and sharing together, struggles with sin, victories, blessings the Lord has given. Yeah, just all the sort of spectrum of human relationship.
Oh, yeah, that's really helpful. Now, talk about a ministry that many will...
I just wonder how you found that helpful.
Well, I was kind of fooling
because you
with
said it was really helpful.
Yeah.
You could have just said it was helpful.
Yeah, really helpful, particularly on the point of kind of fearing man and finding that security in the Lord. I hope that will be helpful, even really helpful to people who are listening.
Well done.
Yeah. Talk about how the ministry of Together for the Gospel was born out of friendships that you had. Like, I mean, because that isn't that just a ministry that came out of your personal relationships with these brothers?
Yeah. Yeah. And developed into a pastor's conference where we have lots of different guys. We we hope we'll be able to meet again. We didn't meet in live this year in 2020. We just did it over the whatever you call these things, the webverse, the web wetterverse, the
I think you got it.
Internets.
Right, yeah, interwebs.
So people could see it on their laptop computers and
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't. Pagers. We weren't literally in the same place. But we hope we can meet again. It's just been a pastor's conference where we, among other things, tried to model friendship.
Who's your best friend?
I don't know, man. You're asking me superlative questions.
I know.
I mean, the Lord, my wife.
That's good. Is it hard to have friendships when you're a pastor?
You know, I was told at seminary that in a church ministry class that I should not have friendships in my local church. And I don't think that's true. And honestly, when the person said that, I kind of wondered if they're a Christian. Because I can understand why a secular person would say that. But as a Christian, I think you've got to be an honest disciple of Jesus with whoever you're living life with, whoever you've covenanted with, certainly that's your spouse. But beyond that, it's the people you meet with every Sunday to celebrate the Lord's resurrection, be instructed in his word together and covenant together. And so I think you've got to have friendships in your church family. Now, if you're the main preacher in that family, you're unusually prominent in that family, that certainly will bring challenges, but I don't think it brings an excuse.
Okay. So how do you decide who to be friends with in your congregation? You're the pastor of a largest church, about 1,000 members. You certainly would like to know them all, just knowing your personality. But you know, how do you decide who you give your time to? You have limited resources.
Yeah, I pray. Mm-hmm. I realize there are going to be more people I would enjoy spending time with than I have time to spend time with. I certainly see people that I need to see, that I can be helpful to them or try to be helpful to them. Other than that, there has to be space for people you just enjoy and get along with,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Are you enjoying this so far?
I know when you were on staff, I enjoyed having you around.
That was fun.
You were an enjoyable person, so it was always good to spend time with you. Not only did you clearly love the Lord, but you loved me and my wife, and your wife loved my wife, and you loved my kids, and they loved you, and it was just a love fest.
It was a love fest. That was a sweet time.
You loved pork?
I do, and I
you
still
did.
Do.
You did love pork.
Mm-hmm, and still do.
You love pork producers?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we'll do a podcast on that sometime, okay. Just on pork.
Or things you love.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about something hard about friendship, when friends okay. leave. You've seen many people go off to ministry. You sent pastors out for church plants, church revitalization. Capitol Hill Baptist is a sending church. And so you've had many friends. We were talking about that over lunch. You guys are, God willing, doing a church plant here soon.
Started today. A new one started today in our building.
Praise God. So how do you emotionally kind of take that with friends leaving all the time?
It's rough, and you realize you still have friends that are still at CHBC, mm-hmm. so they're still at your church. So you, however many you lose, you realize you're losing them for a good purpose,
mm-hmm.
and the healthiest way for somebody to go is to go when they would be missed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing, as bad as it feels, and you just pray that God will allow you to have some left in your church that, you know, you continue to have friendships with. And every friend that moves on, that's more space for you to develop new friendships.
Mm, that's a good word. Yeah. Has that been difficult, though, when oftentimes, like in a church like DC, or some people might be listening to this and they've had a lot of transition in their life. So when people are just there for a short time, does that make it harder? I mean, how do you?
Yeah, I think you can get used to it. Okay. So I've been in DC for 26 years.
Okay.
And I've had some friends there almost the entire time. So as we're speaking right now, this past week, Andy Johnson, who was there almost that entire time, has just moved to Turkey to start a new church. So that's been hard on me and my wife, but we're sincerely excited for what he and his wife, Rebecca, are doing. And we are praying for them in it and excited what the Lord will do. And, space that they leave is going to be opportunities that we will have with others.
Good, good. You know, you're here with one of your pastoral assistants at the church, Mark
Feather, like a bird, Feather.
Yes. And something that you often do.
But you shouldn't be put off by his appearance. He's not what you think he would be. You might think he's an Assyrian because of his beard, but in fact, he's Canadian.
Yeah, that was surprising to me.
Yeah. I like the bacon.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, I'm a little slow there.
That's fine. We call it Canadian bacon.
Uh-huh.
They call it Canadian bacon. Well, we call it Canadian bacon.
I think we both do.
If I were them, I'd call it ham.
Unfortunately, we can't control some things.
Mark Feather, anyway. We were talking about Mark, who I'm here with.
He's traveling with you.
He's a pastoral assistant at our church, like you used to be.
Yes. And one of the things you enjoy doing is when you're traveling to bring a friend with.
Yeah.
You like that.
Yeah. My wife has a bad back. She's just not going to travel much. When she and I travel, we just drive places so near, within a few hours of D.C. So if I'm going far away, like to the other coast, I can either go alone or I can take somebody with me. Well, I'd rather take somebody with me, and Mark wanted to come, and so he came.
And in general, that's kind of your attitude when you're running errands, when you're doing things you like to
bring.
I'm going
to go to the grocery store, might as well take somebody with me, get 15 minutes, 20 minutes, check in about their life, how they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that that's a good model for pastors?
I think for some pastors. I think the basic line I use is, listen, we all have different emotional wallets. Mm-hmm. So if you've read The Gospel Comes with a House Key by Rosaria Butterfield, which mm-hmm. I haven't read. I've read parts of it and I've skimmed it. I've read a number of her other books. I know mm-hmm. her. Mm-hmm. I assume you probably shouldn't do what Rosaria talks about in that book. If you're Rosaria, you should. Mm-hmm. And there may be 10 or 20 other women like that. But basically, you're getting a good picture into what it means for her to follow the Lord. And you may get some inspiration from that. We all have different size wallets. I think I have a pretty large emotional wallet. Mm-hmm. To be able to expend myself, you know, to new people or to a number of people. And the point is not that you try to do that, so take somebody to the store with you. You may be built that you desperately need those 15 or 20 minutes by yourself. That's absolutely fine. Whatever emotional wallet you do have to spend for others, spend that.
Mm. That's a really helpful perspective. A number of people in our church have read the Rosaria Butterfield book. And,
I won't even let you put on our bookstall.
Really,
Rosaria, I love you, sister, but I'm just I love your books, but yeah. I won't let that be on the bookstall because I think it's going to be too guilt-inducing to too many women.
Well, you can be guilt-inducing yourself, Mark.
Because you may take guilt from me, but I refuse to suggest that I induce it.
Okay.
So,
but you've trained up just so many men in kind of pastoral ministry. You guys do an internship, like I said, you have a number of guys come through. You've had a big impact on my life, but you could see.
Oh, but so's your dad, and so's John Erickson, and so's Andy Johnson, and so's Michael Lawrence.
That's true. But I guess what I want to get at is
there are a lot of us that have poured into you.
Yeah.
You've taken a lot of work, Daniel.
Indeed.
I mean, you could talk to your dad, talk to John Erickson, who was your middle school youth group leader.
Yeah.
And I was certainly not the only one in D.C. pouring into you. There was Andy Johnson, mm-hmm. and there was Michael Lawrence, who even came with Michael across the country.
Mike Gilbert Smith.
Dear Mike Gilbert Smith.
Takes a village.
Takes a village to raise Daniel.
But I guess, you know, you have a number of guys who I think, I've talked to a number of guys, they want to be like you. They want to be pouring, have those fat emotional wallets and pouring into people.
They could lose some weight, they'd be fine.
Okay. So is there something that you do, though, in your internship program or as you're thinking of it, each individual guy who you're kind of pouring into to allow the Lord to be working in their life with their gifts rather than, like, be just like me? Because, I mean, that was even one of the things I was talking about in the sermon today is being models worthy of imitation. I mean, I think that's one of the things that Paul is doing with Timothy and Epaphroditus and certainly himself. He's, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. But you're a very unique individual. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. So how do you kind of go back to the basics?
I can't tell if you're encouraging me or, you know, backhanded to me. I'm unique, yes.
Yes, sure, as
you are.
You're a snowflake.
As you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, you know, you have a number of gifts, Mark, that, you know, many pastors long for to be as relational and have the kind of impact that you do. So how do you counsel kind of the more ordinary pastor? I think you've already given us some good input.
Use the emotional wallet you have.
Yeah, yeah.
I think certainly, you know, I would like for Satan to regret my existence. So I'm trying to do as much damage as I can while I'm here mm-hmm. to his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I love 2 Timothy 2:2 where mm-hmm. Paul is telling Timothy to teach those who will in turn teach others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if there's a common thread that I'm looking for, the guys that I hang out with are not all just alike.
Yes.
You know, they're not all, you know, from Kentucky. They're not all athletes. They're not all Ivy League. They're not all Republican. They're not all African-American. They're not all international. Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. just, you know, they're different kind of guys. They do different things.
Yeah.
But I think one thing you would find in common with most of them anyway is they have a desire or a proven ability to teach others.
Yeah.
To influence others. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I don't really even have a self-conscious desire for them to be like me in lots of attributes, how I dress, what music I listen to, how I might vote. I mean, lots of things. I desire for them to be really good and helpful and loving toward others in the person they are that God has made them to be. I remember having an intern once who said to me with some humor at the end of the semester-long internship with us, "Mark, I'm sorry that I didn't get to hear you correct other guys like I was looking forward to, because I know you're pretty sharp tongue, and I was just looking forward to seeing you kind of, you know."
You know, I have fond memories of you. Rebuke is maybe not the word I'm looking for, but you rebuked me on the front end of me coming to Capitol Hill Baptist and on the back end at a congregational or Sunday evening service.
Wow.
So. Maybe, well, too bad that guy wasn't there.
Apparently I didn't do it enough for this guy.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, you know, I think usually I'm don't want to try to get a tight end to try to be a linebacker. I don't want to try to get a viola to be a cello. I don't want to get, you know, I just, I want to look at what somebody does and I want to try to help them do that well. Mm. So I'm not trying to change them to be something that they're not. And I think some guys who are into discipling really try to make everybody a widget. Maybe either they're a good widget or they have a keen sense of the value of widgets. And I have a keen sense of that's not wise. And the Lord has a purpose in the differences he leaves between a Michael and a Jeff and a Daniel and a Mark. And I don't want Daniel, Mark, and Michael to become Jeffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason we're like we are. Mm-hmm. And what I want to do is see what we can do to encourage in ministry whoever the brother is that we're dealing with.
Yeah, I trust that will be helpful, a helpful word, not just if someone's listening to this who is training to be a pastor and wants to go into ministry, but for any church member. And speaking of any church member, how would you encourage someone who has trouble making friends? Like someone, especially, you know, this season is a lonely time, I think, for many of us because of the pandemic. But how would you encourage a lonely brother or sister in Christ who has difficulty reaching out, kind of making those connections and having these kinds of fruitful relationships as we've been talking about?
Well, how I do it would have to do a lot with what they're like emotionally in my relationship with them. But the sure. kind of substance back there I would be drawing from would be a fundamental theological knowledge. They're made in the image of God, and for relationship with God, and this world has fallen, and therefore I can't promise any good in this world. They should look forward to being with the Lord. That's where their hope needs to be. Insofar as they build their hope on good circumstances in this life, that clogs up their ears to hearing take up the cross and follow me. So I can't promise them. I can't build their hope on anything in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, however, I've got that going, then I do want them to understand that God is by nature gracious and merciful. So I might read through them with Dane Ortlund's new book, Gentle and Lowly, mm-hmm. wonderful book. Mm-hmm. Might read that with them to see, help them see that God is well disposed toward them, that in Christ they are adopted, they are the beloved, and then to try to have an eye out for his goodness and his grace in their circumstances, including in the people that they're around, in ways that they can serve them. And, there's no getting around the fact that some people are more awkward or have a more difficult time building relationships, and it will always be that way. And I don't think we can necessarily see them change, certainly not quickly. But I do think the more mature they are spiritually, the more they will be able to give themselves and love to others without asking for a certain relational return. And the more they're able to do that, ironically, the more they will get, I think, probably relational return.
Mm. And you've seen that happen at Capitol Hill.
Many times, yeah.
Is there anything as a leader, as a pastor, or just even as a church, another church member that you've done to pursue, I think the way We've heard you talk about it as a culture of discipleship, of caring for one another, things that you were intentionally trying to build into the church.
Yeah, I would call it not a culture of discipleship, but a culture of discipling.
Okay.
Yeah. Discipleship would just be everything about following Jesus. That's everything I do.
Sure.
Discipling is a very thin slice of that, an important part of that, where I'm trying to help somebody else grow in following Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about. That's the culture that I want to see, a culture of discipling, where it's normal for us to have that encouraging one another, Colossians 3, mm-hmm. Romans 15 kind of attitude, where we are counseling each other with God's word, encouraging each other with God's word. And I think probably just being explicit about what it means to be a member of a church, explicit on the responsibilities and expectations, that when I join a church, I'm both saying my life is everybody else's business, and everybody else is a member here. I am now partly responsible for their lives. Hmm. I'll be praying for them. I trust they'll be praying for me. So being explicit in teaching those kind of things, and then trying to model what that looks like.
So, yeah, just have that kind of spiritual ownership of, yeah. of one another.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you feel like you're just always going back to that, especially with the transition at Capitol Hill Baptist?
Yes and no. I mean, Okay. Yes, because there are always people who've gone out with that mindset and they're not there anymore. And then you've got to have new people filling in, and you've got to be teaching the people who are brand new to the congregation. But no, in that the church does begin to take on a kind of personality and a culture that mm-hmm. persists beyond the self-conscious teaching. Mm-hmm. Ministry of the church. And so there's a way in which CHPC is at this point built in a certain shape that it wasn't in 20 or 25 years ago. And that's, in this respect anyway, I would say that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Just change gears as we start to wrap up this conversation. Michael Lawrence is the lead pastor here. I don't know if you knew that. But you served with him for, was it 9 years? He was kind of one of the associate pastors, kind of the main other preacher at Capitol Hill Baptist. Anything you want to say to Hinson about the kind of man Michael is and how you've seen him grow in the Lord and develop as a preacher, pastor, friend? You've known Michael longer than most people in this church.
Yeah, I knew Michael since he was an undergrad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had the joy of doing his wedding to Adrian. Mm. Michael is someone who obviously is bright. He's saved, loves the Lord. He is a sinner like all of us, and he revels in God's grace. He relishes it, I think, when he studies Scripture. He has an unusually keen mind to see patterns in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And I think through the trials that he and Adrian have endured in the last 10 years, mm-hmm. 15 years, has just had a sharpened everything from sense of the theology of God's grace to more personal knowledge about how to extend that to others.
Yeah. My dad made a similar comment about Michael a few years ago, just in observing from his preaching, like, here is a man who knows how to show the Lord's compassion to others as a fellow sufferer. Mm-hmm. What are you up to these days, Mark? What are your you're adding to the 9 marks? Is that right? Are you taking away marks? You're working on a new edition.
Oh yeah, I'm doing. Just finished a fourth edition of 9 marks. Should okay. be coming out next year, Lord willing, 2021.
So how many marks will there be?
9 marks, Lord willing.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So what's going to be any just like sneak peeks of what's new about the fourth edition?
Oh, it's going to be great, man. Hopefully a new forward by H.B. Charles.
Oh, nice. Junior. Nice. Yeah. Anything else that you're working on these days, kind of apart from just pastoring your local church?
New edition of Deliberate Church. I finished that, working on that with Paul Alexander. It's been out for like 15 or 20 years, so we thought it was time for a new one.
There you go.
So Lord willing, that'll be coming out probably also next year.
Yeah. And you do a lot of traveling and speaking around
well,
the world.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
So. These days, not so much. This is a big deal for me, doing this thing.
Thanks for coming out to Portland to do this podcast.
Know, yeah, it's this instead of
I know you're a faithful follower
other things.
Of the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mark, thank you for coming on the show.
Daniel, it would be hard for me to put into words the privilege that it's been.
Thank you. Take care, Mark.
You too.
Always an adventure to talk to Mark. You never know what he's going to say. I know that this episode was a little scattered, and that's more my fault, but some of you I know enjoy random, so you're welcome. I know Mark would appreciate if you would, even now, as you're concluding listening to this episode before you go to maybe your next podcast, that you would pray for his ministry. I know his ministry has been a blessing to many. It certainly has been to Michael and myself and the elders and the staff. So pray for his ministry, the ministry, though, of Capitol Hill Baptist and Nine Marks. Mark shared some specific ways we can pray for the church this last Sunday night. So hopefully you were able to tune in for that and to pray along with us virtually. Well, friends, until next week, this is the Disciple Hinson Podcast. Talk to you later.